Welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. Today's story is called St. Patrick and the Snakes, an adaptation of the Christian stories of St. Patrick of Ireland, written for you by Daniel Hines. If you would like to support Stories Podcast and get every episode ad-free and a week early, subscribe to our Wondery Plus Kids feed on iTunes or your Apple Podcast app. In case you missed it, Dan and I have a new show. On Stories RPG, we play games just like Starsworn with all your Max Goodname friends and Giga City Guardians featuring the brilliant Firefly. Click the link in the episode description or go to patreon.com/storiesrpg to get ad-free episodes, play-along games, and coloring books. We've already got a bunch of episodes over there, so check them out now. We have Stories Podcast merch available at storiespodcast.com/shop. We're also on Cameo for all of your personalized video message needs, and don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast. If you send us a drawing of your favorite scene or character, we'll share it on our feed. Now, here's a word from our sponsors.
Hey, grown-ups.
On the Nintendo Switch system, you can team up with friends in Super Mario Bros. Wonder.
Where you can meet talking flowers.
Life's full of surprises.
And where piranha plants sing.
And where Mario, Luigi, and Peach turn into elephants.
Wowie Zowie!
And where this announcer turns into a...
super tiny announcer!
That's not in the game.
Sorry, got a little excited. Nintendo Switch, the home of Mario and friends. Game rated E for everyone. Game and system sold separately.
Thanks. Enjoy the episode. St. Patrick and the Snakes. Did you know that Ireland is one of the only places in the world without snakes? It's true! Even though their country is lush and green and full of little critters that snakes love to eat, there's not a single serpent slithering in the whole country. There are many theories as to why, but one of the most interesting involves St. Patrick of Ireland. In the old days of Ireland, there were snakes. They weren't anything like the little ones we keep as pets, all cute and curly, like your rattlesnakes or cobras. No, these old snakes of Ireland were rumored to be half-devil. Some were small as sticks, but had needle teeth and a poison so foul they'd turn you to jelly. Others were thick as tree trunks, long as winding roads, and mean enough to eat a man whole. They seemed to be under every rock and behind every hill. They were a scourge to the Irish people, and nothing they did, no bow or spear or arrow, seemed to harm them. The queen of the snakes was larger than all the rest combined. She lived in Tipperary, high on the top of the Galtee Mountains, where she devoured every goat and sheep she could find. The mountain was high for Ireland, but not so high that it wasn't covered in green grass and clover, so her emerald body blended in wherever she slithered. At the base of the mountain, there was a small village. It had cottages of stone and thatch and thick hedges growing round it like a meandering maze. It had once been a city, but the Serpent Queen had driven away the people there by and by, so only a handful of old-timers too stubborn to move remained. They lived in the shadow of the mountain, in the shadow of the Serpent Queen, and kept one eye out for snakes as best they could. This went on until, one day, a young man came walking up the road. He was dressed in green robes and carried a crook, which is a long staff with a curling hook at the top used to herd sheep. He smiled at the villagers in their dingy wool and settled himself on a bench in the town square. Villagers peered at him suspiciously from their doors. They didn't get many visitors, just the occasional warrior who came to try and slay the Snake Queen, and the young man didn't look like any warrior they had ever seen before.
"Hi, lad," called the village busybody, Mrs. Murphy. "What's your name now? What's your business here?"
She came out of her cottage, and others crowded behind her.
"Me name is Patrick. Am I not welcome?" asked the young man.
"All are welcome, sure and sure," said Mrs. Murphy, more gently now, concern in her eyes. "It's just the Snake Queen lives above us here.
goes by the name Akara, and she and her children are mighty fierce.
I've heard of the snake, Patrick said. I've come to handle her.
At this, the villagers gathered closer and muttered amongst themselves. Many strong and famous warriors had gone up the mountain, and none had ever come back down again.
You don't look like no warrior, said a farmer named Bran.
He jerked his head at Patrick's crook.
You look more like a shepherd.
Patrick laughed at this, an honest and open laugh with a wide smile.
Is it funny?
Bran asked, unsure if he was being laughed at.
You're more right than you know. I am a shepherd, a sorts, Patrick said. I am a shepherd, and the Christians are me flock.
Oh, a holy man, asked Mrs. Murphy. Here to handle Cara herself. Sure, and I'm the Queen of Britain.
Aye, but why not?
Asked a younger girl.
All the warriors with their spears and swords have never returned. Sure, but everyone's always claimed the serpent was half-devil. Maybe a holy man is what we need.
And maybe he has a death wish, said Bran.
And this time he smiled as the village laughed. Patrick only smiled along.
I don't need anything from you, Patrick said.
Well, that's not true. If you could point out the fastest way up the mountain, I'd appreciate it mightily. We can show you the way, said Bran. But you've no weapon, no sword or spear or sling, and you're wearing those old green robes with not a stitch of proper armour to speak of.
Me faith is me weapon, said Patrick, and me prayer is me breastplate. So long as I believe, no devil shall harm me.
The villagers looked at each other, intrigued and confused. They were willing to let the young man try his best, but it seemed he had no chance at all. And they couldn't have that on their conscience. At least not without trying to dissuade him.
You're brave, sure enough, said Bran,
kindly as he could.
But Cara the Queen will swallow you whole and use your crook to pick her teeth. I don't say this to be mean, but we'd spare you that fate if we could.
He's right,
Mrs. Murphy said, with a chorus of agreements for the dozens of visitors now clustered around.
Go back to your home, watch out for snakes, and live a nice long life. You need not be troubled by the likes of Cora.
Patrick rose, dusting off his emerald green robes, and smiled.
You're a good sort, and I appreciate all the care, he said. But I'm here on the word of me God, and I fear no evil, be it queen or snake or demon.
The villagers saw there was no talking the young man out of it. He meant to go and face the monster, no matter that it would probably be the end of him.
Well, said Bran, if you're really set.
I am, said Patrick.
All right, follow me then. I'll show you the best way up the Galtee Mountain. There's an old goat trail that starts in the hills, but I'll go no farther than that.
That's plenty, said Patrick. Thank you, friend. Thank you all.
He and Bran stood and walked through the village, the people wishing him luck without much hope in their voices. True to his word, Bran walked Patrick to the head of an old trail that wound back and forth up the mountain, much like a snake itself. There, he left to return home, and Patrick continued on. The trail wasn't especially steep, but it was slick and muddy, with good green grass and clover on either side. As he climbed, Patrick started to see snakes of all sorts. Small ones, bright and poisonous, thick ones that could crush with their coils, and all kinds in between. They advanced on the young man, but as he climbed, he softly spoke a prayer, accompanied by his own footfalls and the rush of the wind. It was a prayer he wrote himself, and one that people still use in Ireland today.
In the deeds of righteous men, I arise today as one, with the strength of heaven, the light of the sun, the radiance of the moon, the splendor of the fire, the lightning thunder's boom, and the swift wind's ire, the depth of the sea, the stable earth won't sway, by the firmness of the rock, I arise today.
You might think a prayer wouldn't help him, but Patrick knew the truth. These snakes of Ireland weren't real snakes at all, but demons and monsters. The prayer washed over them like thunder, making them cringe back and hiss and roll. They didn't have any hands to cover their ears, so they were forced to turn and slither away, leaving the path up the mountain clear. Patrick continued to sing his prayer as he climbed the winding trail up the mountain. Soon, the grass gave way to clover, and the three-leafed sprigs swayed gently in the mountain wind. The air smelled faintly of spring, of mountain water and flowers and sheep's wool, but that wasn't all. Over the rest, like a moldy blanket, lay the stink of Cora, the serpent and queen of snakes. Patrick climbed higher still, and as he neared the top of the mountain, he still didn't see the snake. For a moment, he wondered if the villagers had led him astray. Maybe they wanted to keep him safe and sent him up the wrong mountain? As he wondered, the top of the mountain began to ripple and sway. Like a great ball of thread unraveling, the top of the mountain slithered and began to pull apart. With a start, Patrick realized he wasn't looking at the top of the mountain at all, but at the Snake Queen herself. So massive, she took up the entire peak. Patrick raised his staff, the hook end shining in the sun. "Begone, you foul beast," he bellowed. "Begone from Ireland and its shores forever." Cora raised up and up, and now Patrick could see the mountain's peak beneath her, clover crushed into mud and filth. Her mouth was as big as a cavern, a seemingly endless pit of darkness. While Patrick stared at it, entranced, her tail, tipped with poison spikes, came whipping around. It smashed into Patrick as it had smashed into so many warriors before him. The young man went spinning head over heels and crashed to the ground, and then climbed back to his feet. "How?" the Snake Queen asked, her voice a hissy whisper. "Me faith is me weapon," Patrick said. "Me prayer is me shield." With a roar, the snake snapped forward, trying to bite and swallow Patrick whole, but she bounced back as if striking an invisible wall. Patrick held up a clover, plucked from the ground. "Three petals," he called. "Three petals but one place. Just as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one God, and I have their protection." The snake struck again, and this time Patrick held up his staff. It flashed with light and Cora pulled back, her snout singed with blue fire. Patrick smiled and continued his prayer.
God shield to protect me, I arise today as one. God shield to save me, I arise today as one. God shield to protect me from evil and shame, from poison and flame, from wound or from aim. God shield to protect me, I arise today as one.
Every word lashed at the Snake Queen like a whip, and inch by inch she staggered forward, sliding down the mountain. Patrick held up his staff and swung it at her, and where it connected, she was blasted back by holy fire. "Back, back, begone!" he roared, and with a final mighty swing, he drove Cora, the Queen of Snakes, flying backward into the sea. "And stay gone!" he bellowed, this time slamming his staff into the peak of the Galti. The mountain shuddered, and all through Ireland, there came a great rolling chime, like a church bell. The sound echoed sweet and clear to every person in their home, to every bunny in their burrow and bee in their hive. It sounded pure and true to every child in their bed, every bird in their nest, and every fish in their pond. It was a perfect note of music, and the monstrous snakes of Ireland couldn't handle it. All of them, every last one, slithered out from their rocks and their trees and their swamps and followed their queen into the ocean. And to this day, they've never returned. After that and many other amazing feats, Patrick became known as Saint Patrick, the very Saint Patrick we still celebrate today. The end.
Today's story, St. Patrick and the Snakes, was an adaptation of the Christian stories of St. Patrick of Ireland, written for you by Daniel Hines, edited and produced for you by Andrew Martin, and performed for you by me, Amanda Weldon. If you would like to support Stories Podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, get ad-free episodes and early access when you subscribe to our Wondery Plus Kids feed on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, check out all of our merch available at storiespodcast.com/shop, commission a special video on Cameo, follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast, or simply tell your friends about us. In case you missed it, Dan and I have a new show. On Stories RPG, we play games just like Starsworn with all your Max Good Name friends and Giga City Guardians featuring the brilliant Firefly. Click the link in the episode description or go to patreon.com/storiesRPG to get ad-free episodes, play-along games, and coloring books. We've already got a bunch of episodes over there, so check them out now. Thanks for listening. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.